and making sure that they are doing everything that they can to advance a more affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy system for us all.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, April 7th, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Alan Niven, Lexis Ponce, and Onyx. The producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Sherry Meredith. Special thanks to Isabel Charlet, Farah Siddiqui, and Antonia Gonzalez. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Sam Bowman.
And I'm Lexis Ponce. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for We Decide, America at the Crossroads from the Pacifica Network.
Welcome to We Decide, America at the Crossroads 2025 from WBAI and the Pacifica Radio Network. In our A block, we're going to check in with our reporter roundtable composed of New York City-based journalist Laura Jadid, who tracks the MAGA movement about the week that was and the week that's unfolding. She'll be joined by news director Charlie Pittman, news director at WORT, the Pacifica affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin. And for the rest of our program, we're going to bring you some of the voices that were part of Saturday's massive national anti-Trump Musk mobilization. We have dispatches from close to 20 Pacifica Radio Network affiliates who were out in their communities documenting the events of the day. Let me welcome back Laura Jadid. Laura, of course, is a freelance journalist who tracks the MAGA movement and served for two combat tours in Afghanistan with U.S. Army Signal Intelligence. You can read her work in her Substack, BandonYourState.com. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Okay, and today Laura is joined by Charlie Pittman. Charlie's voice you probably heard before. Charlie is the news director for WORT Pacifica's Madison, Wisconsin affiliate. We, of course, work together covering the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Charlie, it's so great to speak with you again.
Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Before we get started, I have a clip from Reverend Dr. William Barber when he spoke before what was estimated to be over 100,000 people at Saturday's Washington, D.C. hands-off protest. So let's take a listen to that.
Finally, they are afraid of you, Trump and Musk, who are want to be dictators and want to be kings and lords. They are afraid of the power of love and truth and justice. They are afraid of your unity and your diversity. Well, let's keep them afraid until they change. My friends, this is way bigger than just a party issue. This is an outright battle for civilization. And the truth is, they are all scared of your power to come together. And they are betting that we will be afraid of them. But this is the time that we must increase, intensify, and embolden our agitation for what is right. We must declare that the only way a wannabe king can be king is if we bow. But bowing down is not an option. Our knees aren't made for bowing. We are not going to bow to power-drunk neo-fascist extremists. We only bow to God. And so we must stand tall. When they attack everyday people with mean, hurtful policies, we must stand tall as they take your hand off of our lives. So stand up to the technocrats. It's time for our pulpits to stand tall. It's time for statesmen and stateswomen to stand tall. It's time for the people to stand tall. We must mobilize our righteous bodies and our voices and our hearts by the millions. We must stand tall because bowing down is not an option. It might take mass call-ins, but stand tall.
So with that in mind of what took place in Washington, I want to ask both of you, and Laura, I'll start with you. Did you go out to the protests and what did you see?
So I actually went to D.C. and I was there for that clip you just played. It was so big. It was so massive that not everybody could hear. Not everybody could get close enough to the stage to see it or hear it or know that it was even there. It was probably the biggest protest I've ever been to. And I've been to a lot at this point. It was electric. The attitude was, I've been to these protests in the New York area mostly. This was a lot more serious, I feel, than the other ones. And I don't mean that it was depressing or dour. There were still clever signs, but a lot of signs were just firm. There was a real sense of, it was a nice mix of kind of lightness and that we can do this all day and seriousness and that we have to do it all day. I came away really inspired. And I think for people who are listening, if you're on the fence about going to one of these, you should go to one of these. I mean, keep an eye on the news. This is a group of people that is going to remain peaceful. This is not the kind of protest where you're going to be in danger unless things change pretty significantly. These protests just keep getting bigger. And I'm sure that on April 19th, when the next one happens, it'll be bigger still.
Wow. So Charlie, did you have the same experience in Wisconsin?
To an extent, yes. I've been to a lot of protests in Madison, the capital city of Wisconsin, and this one was pretty big, all things considered. There was a massive crowd that filled the lawns, sidewalks, and streets around the Wisconsin state capitol, at least a corner of it. Organizers estimated that there were more than 10,000 who participated. But there were protests all over Wisconsin, which is not something that you usually see. There were thousands more in Milwaukee and also cities like Green Bay, La Crosse, Janesville, places in the north of Wisconsin like Rhinelander. So that to me was really interesting that there were so many protests around the state. I saw a lot of signs, I saw a lot of creativity, and I saw a lot of, I've had enough. Another thing that I thought was interesting for this protest is that there seemed to be a bigger tent than usual of who was welcome. Yeah. Some protests are pretty specific in Madison, Wisconsin, or our student protests. But I talked with folks who said they were a registered Republican who drove down to protest because of the apparent loss of respect for the rule of law. I saw a lot of flags and I saw a lot of patriotism. And you don't always see that at a protest in the downtown seat of Madison, Wisconsin. So I thought that was interesting. I talked with others who, you know, were upset that people were getting snatched off the street, right? And someone just held up a 14th Amendment sign. So a little bit of a different dynamic. I would say that the energy was really positive for a protest too. You saw people getting brunch afterwards. So, and I think that is an important part of mobilizing and organizing to continue that march as we are just in the first months of this. And so I think what you're saying is this kind of mass mobilization that is encouraging folks to work together, which is a really important part of protest.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank both of my guests, Laura Jadid, who is a freelance journalist who tracks the MAGA movement and served for two combat tours in Afghanistan with the U.S. Army's Signal Intelligence. You, of course, can read her work in her Substack, bandinyourstate.com. And Laura was joined by Charlie Pittman, news director for WORT, Pacifica's Madison, Wisconsin affiliate.
War, corruption, treason, and an open season on human rights. Tears at the fabric of our nation, and the tragic realization is that future generations will pay the big price. Wake up and shake it up, America. From north to south, from east to west, from sea to shining sea. Our government is a fight for we the people who can't ignore that we shall reap. What we sow, so we better sow. Care for me. This land is your land.
This land is my land. If we come.
You are listening to We Decide, America at the Crossroads, a joint production of WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City and the Pacifica Radio Network, composed of our sister stations, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in San Francisco, as well as over 200 of our Pacifica radio stations in 40 different states. So up next, we've got our National Pacifica Radio Network, April 5th, Hands-Off Protest Rewind, documenting grassroots America making history.
This is Lisa Loving with the Pacifica Radio Network. This past Saturday, it's likely that over a million Americans turned out at events planned to protest President Donald Trump's policies. The more than 1,300 anti-Trump events slated for every state in the Union were planned by a broad coalition of over 150 labor, pro-democracy, and social justice groups. The scale of the undertaking was reminiscent of the anti-Vietnam War mobilization over a half century ago. According to multiple press reports, both New York City and Washington, D.C. each saw crowds of over 100,000 people turn out. In most states, there were multiple events to choose from, with Axios reporting that more than 45,000 people turned out in Raleigh, North Carolina alone. What follows is a compendium of dispatches from Pacifica affiliates from every region of the nation documenting what transpired in their local communities. In this segment, we're hearing from KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico, WPPM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, XOXO Austin Airways from Austin, Texas, WUWU in Alberta, also known as Birdie, Michigan, WEFR in West Virginia, and WGRN in Columbus, Ohio.
People braved icy winds to fan out across Civic Plaza as part of more than 1,300 protests around the country by the Hands Off movement. The organizers included civil rights organizations, labor unions, LGBTQ plus advocates, veterans, and elections activists. Protesters waved signs calling out cuts by the Trump administration to federal programs, including healthcare, and actions by Elon Musk's Doge team. Adriana Rivas Williams was holding up a puppet familiar to many New Mexicans.
Well, this is Old Man Gloom, and this is Old Man Gloom Trump. As you can see, it says Make America Gloom Again, because today's a very gloomy day for a lot of people, and we have to fight back, and we have to stand for human rights before the money. He goes to sleep tonight while other people are worrying about their IRAs. Nice of him.
She says she wanted to incorporate New Mexican traditions to the protest to represent those who live here.
Being a native and my DNA being here to the 1600s and being very proud to be a New Mexican and understanding that this land that I'm on is my land, and we have a lot of natives here, Native Americans, lots of Hispanics, Latinos. Wake up, Trump. Coffee's here. Brown is here to stay.
Brooke Greenland is an elementary school teacher in Albuquerque who says she's worried about early childhood education being cut.
I'm personally taking a pay cut next year to keep doing my same job, just because I feel like I don't want to stop doing what I'm doing and it's worthwhile, but it feels disrespectful to pay teachers less.
She says she's worried kids will not come to school if they're worried that their parents are going to be deported.
I personally know someone whose father was deported, and I can't imagine what it would be like to be in that family.
Paul Apodaca identifies as queer and says that the canceling of the emergency plan for AIDS relief that was created by President George W. Bush was a bad choice.
I did lose a lot of friends to AIDS. So are we going to go back to that? That's kind of scary for me. It's like, we got to fight. For me, it's, you know, being Latino, gay, it's like two strikes against me. They don't care.
Apodaca is originally from El Paso and says he's really glad he lives in New Mexico.
Having come from Texas is a whole different situation. I grew up 8 blocks away from Juarez. So there is no easy solution. I grew up in that.
Speakers included former Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, Attorney General Raul Torres, Mayor Tim Keller, and longtime civil rights activist Dolores Huerta, who got a serenade from the crowd for her 95th birthday. For KUNM, I'm Jeanette Didios.
This is Vanessa Maria Graber, and we are here at the corner of 5th and Market Street at Independence Mall, where there is a large protest happening. There are thousands of people here who just marched all the way from City Hall to National Historic Park to protest the current policies of President Trump. We see a really diverse crowd, lots of families here, people of all ages, and we're about to dive in and check out the rally that's going on.
We're not just saying no, we're saying yes to something better. Yes to our humanity. Yes to our solidarity. Yes to our dignity. Yes to peace. Yes to our planet. Yes to a future where power flows from the people and not from billionaires.
My name is David Gibson. I live in South Philadelphia. I'm one of the two co-coordinators of Peace, Justice, Sustainability Now. We're an associate member group of Peace Action. And we're out here to build unity to fight what looks like an authoritarian coup. I mean, we don't see tanks in the streets yet, but it doesn't look good. A lot of people have been hurt. And we all are stronger together and unified, and we've got to bring people together to push back on this autocratic government, to hold the line so we can change the power of Congress in D.C. in the next 2 years.
I'm State Representative Chris Rabb, and I represent the 200th Legislative District of Pennsylvania, covering 4 neighborhoods in Northwest Philly.
All right, tell us why you're out here today.
I'm always looking for good trouble, and there's, I don't know, 10,000 people out here who want the same. They want real change, and this is a moment where we have to stand up and realize it's up to us. It's not up to anyone else. We are the leaders we've been looking for, and I'm here to affirm all the people who are anxious, who are frustrated, who are scared, but who are also empowered to do something and not just wait for something to happen to us. I'm most concerned about the broligarchy. I'm concerned about fascism and the destruction of institutions that espouse to represent our democratic republic and the values that we, Independence Hall back here, you know, have codified into the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And in fact, they are not stepping up. The most influential, the wealthiest institutions are not doing nearly enough. So I'm using my position in elective office to hold them account, to make sure that we realize that if we don't organize, we will be destroyed. And also that we have been through worse and come out stronger. Nothing that we care about, whether it's climate action, full and fair funding of public education, gender justice, whatever, can be actually moved forward unless we address campaign finance reform and electoral reform. And also, I know something you care about is media democracy, making sure that independent voices and outlets have the resources and reach that they deserve so that we can pull ourselves away from the clutches of corporate media. Corporate media is an extension of Wall Street, and Wall Street is an extension of the corporate greed that has destroyed the fabric of our society as we know it.
My name is Seth Anderson Oberman. I'm the executive director of Reclaim Philadelphia. I came out today to stand with the people and fight back against the fascist hijacking that is trying to take the country back from regular working people, from our communities, our cities, you know, everybody who's fought to make this country a better place for all of us. We're having it ripped away now and sold off to billionaires. And it was really heartening to come out today and stand with, I would have to say, 25, 30,000 people who showed up in Philadelphia to say, hell no, to say, get your hands off our city, get your hands off our, you know, all of the programs and agencies and services and things that we've won to protect working people and communities. It was really powerful, and it gives me some hope for the future. I hope people will stay active, you know. I mean, the rallies are great sometimes when we need to show our strength and the broad support, but I hope that people will engage in their communities. I hope that they will continue to organize and talk to their neighbors, build block by block where they live.
To Musk we say hands off, your cuts are not worth the cost, and we say power to the people.
This is Vanessa Maria Graber reporting for WPPM on the Pacifica Radio Network.
We are with Jim Ellinger in Austin, Texas. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
What's your station? Remind us.
I'm with Austin Airwaves. We're not a radio station. We're a group that helps put radio stations on the air. We're probably most well known for putting the low power FM station on the air inside the Astrodome after Hurricane Katrina. We've also put stations on the air in Haiti after the earthquake. And right now, we're very proud to say that the little town of Kyle, Texas, is about to get their very own radio station because of the work of Austin Airwaves.
All right. Jim, tell us about the protest in Austin. What went on there?
It's going on now. The rally just started 2:00 Central Time, so it's just getting going. It is an incredibly good-sized crowd. People were streaming in by the thousands. I originally guessed at 3,000. I think it's more than 5,000 now. People are streaming in from all directions here in downtown Austin, Texas. It's an extremely enthusiastic crowd.
Who is there? Like, what's going on with the people?
Yeah, it's a good mix. A lot of the crowds in Austin of late have been folks of my generation, the kind of 60s activist radical types. This is a very mixed crowd. There are high school kids here. There are a marching band of a high school. There are a range of ethnicities, Asian, Hispanic, African-American. And of course, lots of senior citizens who now bring their own chairs to sit in. But I have to say, we're rather proud that it is an ethnically mixed up crowd with a wide range of ages.
So what's the mood? What's the mood of the people?
So I would say, in a word, this is an enthusiastic rally. I would put this crowd at about 5,000 and growing fast.
What would you say are the biggest issues impacting your community right now?
Certainly the vouchers. That is Abbott and the folks who have a hold on the Texas legislature and the billionaires want to have school vouchers that you can spend anywhere you want. But as a practical matter, they're just going to go to religious private schools. Many counties are opposed to this because it's going to kill their tax base for their schools. It failed to pass very narrowly in the last legislative session, and Abbott went after his own party, his own Republicans, and ousted a lot of them. It's now expected to pass. A lot of people, including small town Texans, who are not normally ones to come to rallies, are very much up in arms and very angry that their tax dollars may be spent on a private religious school and not their local public high school.
What else? What other thoughts you have about what you just were?
Well, marijuana is off the issue. Marijuana is not going to get legalized in Texas. There was a while there where there was a growing number of people pro-pot. That's not going to happen. There's also fewer LGBTQ trans signs. Again, this is Texas. In Austin, Texas is getting remarkably more conservative, whereas Austin is sort of holding the line. Small town Texas, Round Rock, Texas, which is not a progressive town by any means, they sent 2 busloads of people to D.C. So this is spreading out across the country to small town, regular old America. Actually, Round Rock, which is just north of Austin, is the political opposite of Austin. Remember, Austin is the opposite of Texas politically. We are constantly fighting them for all the issues, everything from environmental and mass transit subsidies and schools and all that. Austin remains the blueberry in the tomato soup of Texas. In closing, there's been no trouble at all. There hasn't been a single heckler. There hasn't been a single Trumper or MAGA. The police, which are always an issue here, and their horses and their motorcycles and their bicycles are all kept away. There's a couple parking lots away nearby. They're nearby if there's trouble, but there has been zero trouble at this rally in Austin, Texas today.
Are there certain key groups that have been involved?
Interestingly, there has been less involvement of regular old, what I might call rank and file activist groups in Austin. There has been a little tension between the 501 folks and local activists as these nice young kids who are kind of picking up the banner of democracy to save American democracy have sort of clashed with old school organizations in Austin and folks of my generation. There has been some support from local groups, but frankly, not that much. But as far as organizations, we've seen quite a few union signs. The unions have come out big time. The school teachers, the municipal workers, the state government workers have all shown up. But aside from that, you just don't see that many local activist groups involved, maybe, sorry to say.
All right. Jim Ellinger, Austin, Texas, Austin Airwaves. Thanks for taking the time today.
Glad to help out Pacifica. Support your local Pacifica station.
An enthusiastic crowd of approximately 400 Benzie County residents participated in the nationwide day of protest, Hands Off Rally, on Saturday, April 5th. Benzie County is located in northwest Lower Michigan, bordering Lake Michigan, and has a population of approximately 18,000. Organizers of the Hands Off protest said participants are calling on Trump and Elon Musk to take their hands off the programs that the middle class and working families rely on. More than 1,000 events were scheduled in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. Let's hear what some of the protesters had to say.
Hi, I'm Carol Carlin from Frankfort, Michigan.
And tell me what your sign says today, Carol.
Well, my sign is the map of the United States, and the top says we must insist, resist, persist. And hands off our free speech, education, national parks, Medicaid, libraries, museums, schools, books, Planned Parenthood, immigrants, consumer protections. It goes on and on.
And why did you feel it was important to be out here today, Carol?
Oh, my goodness. So much is at risk. And there's an awfully scary administration there. We got to get these guys out.
My name is Nancy Bogan. I'm 80 years old, a lifelong Democrat. I live in Bensonia. And I'm here with my sign that says, hands off my Social Security, which is a lifeline for us. My husband and I both get Social Security and a very small retirement. So anything that affects it will affect our lives deeply. And I'm just so pleased to be able to be out here and support the good things that our country needs to do.
Marty, and we felt it was important for us to participate in this. We're both older, we're both disabled. So many things speak up to us, and it's our time to speak now. It's our time to show, you know, that we're not in agreement with what's going on. I'm a vet. We both get Social Security. We both enjoy, you know, our public parks and public lands. We're terrified for people that are less fortunate, that are on Medicaid, Medicare.
My name's Joe, and one side says no kings, the power belongs to we, the people. And the other is due process for all, because we're really screwing up on that. And I am so empowered by the turnout in Benzie. I am so proud of this. It's wonderful.
Barb, and my sign says resist like it's 1938 Germany.
And what made you make that sign?
Because it is exactly like 1938 Germany in so many ways, because the Trump administration is using the Nazi playbook. It's about that simple.
My name is Andrew Bishop. I'm a veteran. I'm wearing the sign on my back because I think there was an insurrection, and I don't like that he not only freed all the people who broke the law, but he then fired all the people who prosecuted them. I'm greatly opposed to that, but I'm opposed to everything he's doing, all of his cuts, just opposed to him, and that's why I'm wearing the sign today.
My name is Richard Dodge, and on my sign, on this side it says, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. And on this side, it said, it says, Nero fiddled while Rome burned.
Why do you feel it was important to be out here today?
I feel it's important because my father and my uncle fought in World War II against fascism, and it's time that we started doing it again.
Reporting from Benzie County, this has been Arlene Sweeting with WUWU LPFM 100.1 in Frankfort, Alberta.
That was Jeanette DeRios from KUNM in Albuquerque.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.